Good morning and welcome to the Snow Nose Garden Show, the longest continuously running garden show in the world and the most listened to weekend talk radio show in Central Virginia, live since the spring of 1950. I'm Corbin Snow, the Minister of Mulch, and my sidekick this morning is my 8-year-old daughter, Madison. Good morning, Maddie. Microphone check. Good morning, Maddie. One more time. And it's a gorgeous day out there, and it's a wonderful day to get out and garden. This is the Snow Nose Garden Show, brought to you by Snow's Garden Center, conveniently located just south of downtown Charlottesville, out on Avon Street. And I took 5-10 minutes and walked around the nursery this morning, and the greenhouses, and the shade houses, and the garden center is absolutely beautiful right now. In fact, we had a customer that came in Thursday, and from the moment she got out of the car, she was out on our little front terrace, and Donna, my buyer, came running back to the office, and where I was sitting back in the office, she said, "You've got to come out and listen to this customer." And I'm thinking, "Oh man, someone's upset. What do I need to do to make them happy?" And so I kind of walk out around the office, and I go out to the garden center, and this lady, this customer, is just talking really loud. She's saying, oh my gosh, this place is so beautiful. And then she'd turn another corner, she'd go, oh my goodness, I've got to have that. This place is so beautiful. And so I kind of followed her around the nursery for a little bit, and finally I went up and introduced myself, and she practically gave me a hug and just said, your garden center is just breathtaking. It's beautiful. I've never been here before. I'm from Stanton, and this place is beautiful. Anyway, it is absolutely gorgeous right now. Lots of hanging baskets, annuals, perennials, flowering shrubs and trees, and roses on trellis and knockout roses. The garden center looks beautiful for Mother's Day, and invite everyone to come out and take a look at what we have today. Also want to remind everyone that just next Saturday, May 14th, the Seaville Go Green Festival will be kicking off out at Snow's Garden Center. And this is Snow's Garden Center and Dixon Disposal and several other local environmentally friendly businesses are going to be celebrating Earth. And this is next Saturday. You can go to our website, SeavilleGoGreenFest.com, to get more information. But it's a community eco event to raise awareness, and we're going to have fun along the way. We're going to have lots of free food, games, moon bounce, several different contests where you can win gift cards, baseball tickets, Virginia baseball tickets, music. Z95 will be there, face painting, and we will be broadcasting live next Saturday morning at 9 a.m. the Snow Nose Garden Show. So again, visit our website, SeavilleGoGreenFest.com. Big thank you to Dixon Disposal for being our community partner for this event, and check out the website. You can also enter to win over $1,000 in prizes on the website. We have a garden flag design contest, and it's not too late. We're accepting entries for your artwork up until next Saturday, so you can get that artwork in. Maddie, this is a chance for you to win $1,000 in prizes. You should turn it into an art project. Would you like to do that? No. Okay. All right. Well, anyway, that's, again, next Saturday, the Seaville Go Green Fest. Check it out online, SeavilleGoGreenFest.com. So I had a very, very interesting appointment earlier in the week. In fact, it was on Wednesday. I had a customer call me out to their house, and we had done some landscaping for him about 4 years ago, and 4 out of the 6 Iliagnus had suddenly died. And so I went out to see perhaps what was causing it, what caused the shrubs to die. And as we walked around his garden, it was absolutely beautiful. So I could tell he was maintaining it, watering. I mean, the property was just beautiful. The roses had been pruned, and it just looked stunning. The garden overall looked stunning. But as we were walking around back, I could see the Iliagnus, and they were just laid over completely on their side in the middle of the back garden, and I could see what looked like almost like chainsaw marks. It was white scarring of the tissue of the roots right where the trunk goes into the ground and right before the roots start to come out. It was right at the base of the Iliagnus. And I asked him, I said, well, did you cut them down? And, you know, kind of as a joke, because, you know, he had called me up because they were dead. And he said, no. I said, well, I was like, let's go. It was on the other side of a small split rail fence. So I said, let's go out back and let's see what that is. So we hopped the fence, and upon further inspection, we held them closely. And it looked like someone had taken a small chisel and had chiseled real intricate patterns on the trunk right where it goes down to the ground. And I'll post some pictures on Facebook. But it definitely was vole damage. And I had said that to the customer. I said, well, it looks like this is a prime example of the damage that voles cause in the garden. And he had never heard of voles, and most people don't. When we associate pests and rodents in the gardens, our first inclination is to think about moles. And moles are there for the grubs, typically, in the garden. So they'll burrow and tunnel through the garden, but typically they're there for the grubs. And you can control that by eliminating their source of food with a product like Mach 2 or some other type of mole control. But voles are a little bit different. First of all, one of the things they really like is a lot of bedding. So lots of mulch, pine needles, excess really loose garden dirt, topsoil, any sort of extra bedding around your plants and shrubs, they absolutely love. It just makes for real nice, easy tunneling and burrowing, so they can get in there and feed on the woody sections of your trunks and your root systems. And so after talking to this customer, it was as easy as when he was cleaning up the garden this spring. He was simply raking around those shrubs, and in the process of raking, it toppled, you know, so there's nothing holding it to the ground. It toppled those Iliagnus just right over, and they broke off. And at that point, there's nothing you can do to prevent or to control it. So then we started talking about, well, what's the best control? And the number one best thing you can do to prevent vole damage in the garden would be to eliminate some of that excess mulch or bedding material, especially up around the trunks of the shrubs in your garden. And really, if you can eliminate just, you know, a bulk quantity, you know, you want to make sure you're just doing light top dressing. That'll cut down on the vole population. But once you get them in there, they will literally breed just like rabbits. And you'll get families upon families and generations of voles that will just annihilate and destroy your beautiful garden.
It's amazing how much damage they can do and how quickly.
Yeah, it's amazing how much damage they can do and how quickly. And you don't know they're doing it until they fall. You know, one day you've got a beautiful rose bush, and the next thing you know, you brush by your rose bush, or all of a sudden it turns dead. And then you see the damage that they've been causing underground.
Well, I had a knockout rose out in the backyard, and a couple of years ago, it was just not doing what it, you know, what I had expected it to do early in the spring. And I'd, you know, kind of been watching it, but just from a distance, I hadn't really had a chance to get out there and look at it close. And when I did, I went out there and just and what leaves there were on it were browner than what I had anticipated. And when I touched it, the whole plant just moved.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's not normal. And I gave it a tug, and the whole thing just came right up out of the ground. And this was a shrub that was about 3.5 feet tall and about 4 feet wide. And the whole thing just came up in my hand. And then I put it down and picked it up by the base. And it was just all those little teeth marks in their voles had just gnawed it completely off right at the ground.
So anyway, the easiest way to get rid of them is to make sure you don't have excess mulch. And when I say excess, I mean there was probably 6 to 8 inches of fresh mulch in these planting beds. You just want to make sure you're putting down a small top dressing of mulch. And then I talked to the customer about keeping it away from the trunk of the shrubs. You know, you can feather the mulch up to the trunk, but you just don't want it, you know, more than a half an inch, a quarter of an inch of an inch up around the trunk of those shrubs, and that'll cut down significantly on the damage you'll see in the garden.
Basically, what that excess mulch does is it gives them some place to hide, and that's really the issue. They, you know, they look like a little mouse with just a stubbed off tail. They look like a bobtailed mouse.
They're the cutest little animals you've ever seen. And they've got these little cute little teeth that they just use to gnaw away at your plants in the garden.
But they, you know, in order to stay, you know, to keep away from predators, you know, cats, owls, snakes, you know, anything, raccoons, foxes, anything that eats rodents out in the woods or in the garden would prey on these things very easily. We had a cat when I was growing up that would bring him to the house all the time. And as long as there's nothing deep for him to tunnel around in, it becomes very easy for the predators to see him and catch him. So they look for some place that's got that deep cover, like a lot of leaves or, like you say, 4, 5, 6 inches of fresh mulch up around the plants. And if they can't find that, then they go somewhere else because they need that protection in order to survive. It's a survival instinct. So if you can keep that mulch layer and keep those leaves thinned out up under your plants, then there's no place for these voles don't feel safe going up there to feed on the base of your shrubs. So that's a great way to really discourage them and send them somewhere else.
Bonide also makes a product, the mole and vole repellent, that you can use as well. And you can also look for small little holes in and around your plants and planting beds where you can see where they do a little tunneling, but small holes, maybe as big around as a golf ball, a little bit bigger than a golf ball in size. And those were evident as we were walking around the garden. If you'd like to join the conversation this morning, our phone lines are wide open, 977-1070. I forgot to announce that at the beginning of the show. I went right into talking about voles, and that's spelled V-O-L-E-S. If you'd like more information, do a Google search on them. You can see the little furry friends. You can get a picture of them. And they are just darling little mice-like mouse-like creatures, and, you know, if it wasn't for the damage, I mean, it's almost something you could catch them and bring them inside and adopt it as a family pet. What do you think, Maddie? Should we go out and look for voles this afternoon? Think Mom would like that? Oh, that'd be a great Mother's Day present, wouldn't it? No? She's saying, no, I don't think Mom would like that. Again, if you'd like to join the show, 977-1070, all four lines are wide open. We'd be glad to put you right on the air.
Right, you know, there's so much going on in the garden right now. We see so many different things happening. You know, things are starting to really come alive now. You know, they've kind of got over the initial spring startup. Things are in full leaf, and a lot of things are in full bloom, and just really in their glory. But unfortunately, this is also the time when we start to see some of the pests and the problems come out, and things like the vole damage and whatnot start to become evident. And, you know, you really start to notice some of these things that aren't going right in the garden. So it's a great time to, you know, if you see something like that, just give us a call, you know, this morning here on the radio, 977-1070, or you can bring samples out to the garden center, and we'd love to help you out with whatever's going on. It'll help to correct some of those issues that crop up.
Also, and we'd like to kind of celebrate and if you have any stories or any mothers you would like to put up for consideration to win our prize today, we're going to be giving away a free rose bush today for anyone who would like to call in and tell us how great their mother is. Or if you're a mother, tell us how great you are. You can self-nominate yourself. Or if you'd like to nominate your mother, tell us a story about your mother. We'll enter you into the drawing. We'll take down your name and information, and at the end of the show, we will announce the winner. But to celebrate mothers out at Snow's Garden Center today, we have 20% off all roses. We also have 20% off all outdoor furniture, 20% off all flowering trees, 20% off all farmers market food and drinks, and we're giving away free carnation flowers for all the women and mothers that come out to the Garden Center today. Or any husbands that come out, you can pick up a free carnation to give to your mother or your wife, okay? So that's all going on out at the Garden Center today, 1875 Avon Street Extended. And once again, if you'd like to join the show in our conversation, our number here is 977-1070. And just call in, and we can nominate you for the free rose shrub as well. We do have a caller on line one. Push that little top red button right there and then say, good morning, you're on the Snow Nose Garden Show.
Good morning, you're on the Snow Nose Garden Show.
Good morning. I'm calling. I have a hydrangea bush.
Uh-huh.
And right now, I have all the leaves at the bottom of it. And then I have these, at the top, it's like these dried sticks. And I just want to know, what do I do with them? Do I cut them back or what?
Yeah, you can go ahead and trim those off. Hydrangeas, when we have a rough period of cold weather like we did back in November and December, sometimes a lot of that upper growth will get killed back. And, oh, you know, the plant comes back from the roots, and it'll be fine. It'll come out and do great. May not bloom terribly well this year because of that. But, you know, in the long term, you know, the plant will be perfectly fine and healthy. But you do have these big brown sticks sticking up from it. And you can just go ahead and prune those off now. Go, you know, follow the stem back to a bud that's generating some growth. And snip that dead part off just above that bud, and you'll be fine.
Okay, because actually the blooms are, you know, they're there, you know, at the bottom of it.
Yeah.
But it's just these sticks are sticking up, and they look so bad, and I didn't know what to do with them.
Yeah, it sounds like you just have some old or dead wood up in there.
Okay.
So like Norman said, you know, if you trace it back as you start at the top, and you trace it back to the to the good area, the area where you have a lot of green growth and new buds and flowers coming out,
mm-hmm.
just trace it all the way down. If you make it all the way down, there's no bud or new growth coming out on it, you can just eliminate them completely.
Even at the top of the, if it's at the top of the ground, that'll be fine too.
Exactly. Yeah, as long as there's no buds, new growth on it, yeah, that's completely fine.
Okay, thanks so much.
Thank you. Did you want to nominate a mother today?
Actually, I am a mother.
Wonderful. Well, how many children do you have?
I have, I have a total of six. I have four stepchildren, and then I have two sons myself.
Oh, well, that's fantastic. We're going to enter you in the drawing today for a free rose shrub. What's your name?
Janie, J-A-N-I-E.
Wonderful, Janie.
You
are entered. Just listen at the end of the show. We will announce the winner.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Janie.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. It's just that easy, folks. If you'd like to be entered in our drawing for a free rose shrub, just call in. If you're a mother, if you're a father, and you want to nominate your wife or your mother, anyone can call in. Our number is 977-1070, or if you have a gardening questions, the phone lines are wide open again. But that's a great question about hydrangea. This time of year, you know, some of that new growth has come out, and it's kind of easy to see what you should prune, what you shouldn't prune. And then some of the hydrangeas, the flowers and the buds, the buds and the flowers grow on the old wood, and
right.
It can be a little bit confusing as far as what to prune, what not to prune. But typically, by this time in the year, any old growth like Janie was describing, you could go ahead and just selectively go ahead and prune it out.
Right, and that's really the best way, I think, to manage hydrangeas, because you get some of that dieback. They bloom best. They flower best on old wood, particularly most of the older varieties. Some of the Endless Summers and some of the newer varieties that are coming out bloom on both new and old wood, so you don't have quite as much of an issue with it. But particularly some of the old varieties like the Nikko Blue and whatnot, they only flower on last year's growth. So
right.
If you go in there at the, like some people do at the end of the season, and, you know, they don't want to look at the old sticks
right.
through the winter, so they cut them back to, you know, 6-8 inches tall. The plant's going to survive. It's going to come
back out.
You're
going to get some beautiful green leaves next spring.
Right, but it may not flower very well, if at all.
Right.
So, and, you know, we have lots of people that call up and say, you know, well, why isn't my hydrangea flowering? Is, well, when did you prune it? Well, I cut it way back in December, and that's why it's not flowering very well. So I like to leave those sticks in place till this time of year, let the new growth come out on it, and then you can see what's alive and what's dead.
Yeah.
And then just trim the dead off and go on from there. And it's becomes very obvious what's going on with it. So and it's very very safe and very easy to prune correctly once you see that new growth starting to come out.
We have time to squeeze in one more caller before the break. Good morning, you're on the Snow Nose Garden Show.
Hello.
Hi, good morning, you're on the Snow Nose Garden Show.
Hey, I just had a couple of questions and wanted to nominate my wife for that bush. Let's get that out of the way. My wife's name's Patricia. I'd really like to nominate her. She's
okay.
A good mama.
Great. Well, we've got Patricia entered into the drawing.
All right.
And you're a good man for doing that.
My lilacs. They're about 3 or 4 foot tall, but I can't get them to bloom. Do I need to just add fertilizer, or is it just hard to say?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, lilacs are one of the shrubs that really do best when you prune them, eliminate some of that old wood in the lilac tree or shrub, and then definitely pruning after they flower each year is going to promote new bloom and growth, and then also fertilizing them, keeping them well fertilized with a product like triple superphosphate. Or something that's going to contain some high amounts of phosphorus is going to keep the buds healthy and vibrant each and every spring.
All right, so is it safe to prune them now, or do I need to wait a little while longer?
No, this is actually, if you're going to prune them, this is a good time to do it because they've done their flowering for the season, but they haven't set their new flower buds yet. So you're going to
get... All right, because they're probably 4 or 5 years old, and I haven't yet seen them bloom. Well, I think they may have bloomed once.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll prune them up a little bit and maybe get some phosphate.
Yeah, and if you have any dead wood in it, you know, encourage some of the new growth coming from the bottom and kind of sift through and get some rid of some of that dead wood in the lilac, and they'll do a lot better.
Yeah, and I mean,
looking at it, it looks relatively healthy. It looks very green, very woody there, and so I'm thinking maybe it just doesn't have enough energy to go ahead and bloom, so maybe I need to get some of that phosphate and try that. But anyway, I'll prune it too.
Yeah, that, like I said, give it a shot of that triple superphosphate, and you should see a lot better results next year.
All right, and then the other question I had was about gardenias. What do they need, full sun or shade? Or because unfortunately, what I have is mostly sun, so I'm trying to find a variety that would. That possibly would work. Can you give me any pointers on what to look for? Or?
Yeah, they really prefer kind of part shade, not real heavy shade, but you know, some places going to give them a little bit of protection from the really hot afternoon sun. So if you've got a spot that you know, maybe gets a little bit of afternoon shade, or you know, even just a little bit of you know,
relief.
Filtering of the light, that would probably be the best place to put them.
Okay, and then I guess, is it better to plant those in the fall, or I guess you could do them now, but it's better in the fall?
Actually, with gardenias, I would plant those in the spring. Let them get a good root system established, because they're marginally hardy here. In fact, you've got to be real selective in which varieties you get.
If they don't get established, then we get hit with a real early cold spell, then they'll die. So, like
Norm
said,
I'm assuming y'all got them out at the garden center. Is that right?
Yeah,
we sure do.
And the varieties that we've got out there, out in the nursery, are ones that can take the cold better than most.
Okay, and it now would be fine to plant them, but it's getting a little late. Would that be a fair statement?
Yeah. No, you're fine doing it now.
Yeah,
all right, sounds good. I appreciate y'all's time. Y'all got
thank
a good
you.
Show.
Have a great day.
All right, thank you now.
We've got to take a quick break. We're past due here. You're listening to the Snow Nose Garden Show. We'll be right back. Good morning and welcome back to the Snow Nose Garden Show, the most listened to weekend talk radio show in Central Virginia. We weren't even off the air 4 minutes. That's our quickest return ever.
We kind of, the dependable AccuWeather forecast kind of got dropped, but it's going to be up in the mid-70s today. Chance of showers tomorrow afternoon, highs in the 70s, and then upper 70s near 80 with a 20 to 30% chance of showers most of next week. So
there you go. AccuWeather Norman on the scene. It's going to be a gorgeous day today. Like Norman said, mid to upper 70s, sunny. Just a little beautiful clouds, you know, sparsely up there in the sky. It's going to be a great day to get out and garden. And we, like I said earlier in the show, we are jam-packed. We received this brand-new watering table yesterday that holds and houses all our watering, all our water pond plants. And we have the largest variety of water plants that we've ever had in the 100-year history of our company. In stock right now, and they are absolutely beautiful. We had these—I don't even know the name—but these little self-contained water plant, almost like containers that you would put out on your patio or your porch, that have beautiful blooming water plants in them. Is there a name for them?
No, just little patio water gardens.
Yeah,
that you can put out there and enjoy the water plants, and some of them are just really, really neat. They've got, you know, great foliage, great flowers that come on them and everything. You can stick a couple of fish down in the tub to swim around in there and just enjoy those up on the deck or your patio and have a little mini water garden right there. It's really
cool. It's a new product that just came out. It's kind of like a water bowl, and within that bowl you can have two or three, four different plants. There's little shelves that you can set them at different heights within the bowl. And man, if you're one of those people that have a hard time watering your containers and keeping them wet and living throughout the summer, this is the perfect solution for you, because you just fill that bowl, monitor the height and level of the water throughout the summer. Like Norman said, drop a few fish down on the bottom, and bam, you're done. And they are really, really cool.
Yeah, it's just a really great way to kind of get into water gardening a little bit without having to go out there and dig a huge hole and deal with a liner and filters and all that stuff.
Which can be labor intensive and a maintenance nightmare if you don't stay on top of it.
That's right. if you don't do it right from the beginning.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And it allows you to get into it without spending thousands of dollars for a pond and fountain, biofilters and all that good stuff.
Right. Well, that's, you know, one of the things we've got like you say, we've got probably our best selection ever of different varieties of water plants. They're displayed very, very, you know, it's a very clean, easy way to pick them up. There's not a lot of, you know, digging down around in the pond to pull them out or anything like that. And we've got a greatly expanded stock of pond supplies. Also, we had a neighbor, some real good friends of ours, Aquarius Irrigation, that was located just up from us, that unfortunately moved to Fredericksburg, and they carried a pretty extensive selection of pond care products and, you know, the hard goods end of things, you know, with the liners and pumps and water treatments and fish food and all that. And with them going back to Fredericksburg, we've, you know, consulted with them, you know, hey, what were a lot of people coming in to get? And you know, we're stocking a lot of those products now, and anything that they were carrying that we don't have in stock, we can get for you. So if you were using them for some of your pond supplies and things like that, you know, unfortunately now they're out of the area. But anything that they were carrying, we can get for you. So just you know, come by, ask us, and we'd be glad to get it in for you.
Let's go to the phone lines. If you'd like to join the show, give us a call at 977-1070. Let's go to line number one.
Good morning, on the Snow Nose Garden Show.
How are you this morning,
Maddie? Wonderful. How are you?
Was that Maddie?
That was Maddie.
Yeah, I hope she's having a good day. Good. I've got a question about some boxwoods. Back in 2009, when we had that real heavy snow, it took my boxwoods, and I've got two English ones in front of the house, and just tore them apart, and I tried to tie them up some so they might go back to the sun, so
yeah.
to speak. But they're still all torn up, and I was wondering if this is a time that I could try to prune them back a little bit, and well, not a little bit, but a whole lot, and get them back in shape somehow.
Yeah, it's kind of past the ideal time. You know, ideally you want to get that done before they put out their new flush of spring growth.
Right.
This would probably be a good time to go in if you know you're going to have to do a lot of really heavy pruning on them. Go in and thin them out fairly dramatically.
Okay.
And by thin them out, I mean, you know, really open them up so that you get a lot of light down into the interior area of the plant.
So there's a big hole down into it.
Okay.
Yeah, about 5 feet across, I would say.
Okay. So, yeah, getting that light down into the interior, that'll help to encourage some new growth to start sprouting on some of that interior wood.
Right, okay.
And that'll kind of prep the plant for having a lot of that exterior growth removed.
Okay.
When you do get to the point where you're cutting it back. Having been now, you know, the second or third season since they got, busted apart like that, are you starting to see some new sprouts coming, you know, down there in the interior?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Yeah, if you're starting to see some significant sprouting, by significant sprouting, I'm saying, you know, growth, you know, 2-4 inches long,
mm-hmm.
You could probably start to go in and remove some of that exterior growth back to where those new sprouts are coming out.
Okay.
And be okay. You might not want to do it all at once this time of year, but you know, you can go ahead and you know, really open it up even further and allow, you know, good light to get down into the interior, and then once they start to go dormant in you know, December next year, then you can really start to go in and do some real hard pruning on them and take off all of the some of that real exterior growth and let those new sprouts kind of take over and fill in for you.
And unfortunately, just the nature of boxwoods, they're slow growing. So,
exactly.
You know, it's going to take several years for them to recuperate and fill back out. But, you know, follow those directions and, you know, you'll be well on your way to healthy and vibrant boxwoods once again.
Yeah, the bad news is it takes a long time. The good news is they respond and, you know, will come back actually quite well, much better than you would anticipate for something that is so slow growing and you know, can be a little temperamental, but they respond to heavy pruning very well.
Right, okay. And while I'm at it, I might as well put my wife on a list for a bush or shrub you're giving away.
Yeah, a rose shrub.
Okay.
Yeah, what's her name?
Barbara T.
Barbara T.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we've just entered Barbara T., your wife, into the drawing. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye. Let's go back to line number two.
Good morning, you're on the Snow Nose Garden Show.
Good morning.
Good morning, you're on the Snow Nose Garden Show.
Oh, yeah. I have, in front of my house, I have a periwinkle. In the past, I've had a periwinkle bed that's probably 25 feet wide, maybe 150 feet long.
Uh-huh.
And over the years, you know, the chickweed has come up, and I've never pulled it out. I've been able to use preem to keep it back. This past year, I didn't put the preem down because I wasn't well. And now it's just really overgrown terribly with the chickweed and tall grass. The grass doesn't seem to have much of a root. It's very easy to pull it out. It grows real tall, but it pulls very, very easily. But just man-intensive trying to get, you know, time to grub this stuff and pull it out. Is there anything that you can spray over top of periwinkle, which won't kill periwinkle, but will kill other kind of grasses or chickweed?
Well, the grasses, yes. But the chickweed and things like that, unfortunately, there's the only way to get that out of there is either to let it, you know, die off naturally and you know, put up with it for another couple of weeks and let it, you know, let nature take its course, because it's going to die once the weather gets really hot. It's starting to go south now, but you know, then you've got all that dead stuff in there. But the other option is to go in there and hand pull it. But unfortunately, there is no chemical that will take out just the chickweed and not the periwinkle. Obviously, you know, get in there early with the preen or some weed screen, and that'll help it help keep it from coming back next year. And I would probably do that about the 1st of October.
Okay.
But the product that you could put down for any grassy weeds that germinate and come up is a product called Ornamec. And it's called Ornamec, O-R-N-A-M-E-C, Ornamec. And that's a liquid, and you can spray that right in the periwinkle, and that will eliminate and kill off any of the grassy weeds that are growing.
Now, somebody told me that Bayer's, like Bayer Aspirin, Bayer makes some kind of a weed product. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah, they've got a number of different weed products on the market.
Okay.
Most of most of them are designed for use in the lawn, okay, as opposed to up in flower beds. And you know, right now there is no product that you can spray over the top to eliminate chickweed and other broadleaf weeds in amongst broadleaf plants like the periwinkle perennials or anything like that.
Well, thank you very much.
Did you have did you have a mother or a spouse that you would like to nominate for a free rose bush today?
Yeah.
All right.
Edith. Firth, F-I-R-T-H.
Edith Firth. All right. She's just been entered in her drawing for a free rose plant today.
You'll draw that today, right?
Yep, at the end of the show in just a few minutes.
All right, thank you very
much. All right, thanks for listening and have a great day.
You too, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We've got to take a quick break. We'll be right back on the Snow Nose Garden Show. Welcome back to the Snow Nose Garden Show. We're here for the next 10 minutes to take your gardening questions and answer your phone calls. If you have anything going on in your garden or any questions about your plants, trees, shrubs, perennials, annuals, your lawn, houseplants, pests, rodents, insects, disease, weeds, or something just looks funny out there in the garden, give us a call at 977-1070. We'll put you right on the air. Or we have just a few minutes if you'd like to nominate your mother or your wife to win a free rose shrub today. And I'd like to nominate my wife. Can I do that? Yeah? Maddie, tell us something you like about your mom. What does she do really good for you? Anything? Don't think about it. Just say it. You have lots of good things.
She's nice.
She is nice. She's very nice. And your mother, how many children does she have?
Four
children. And do you think that's a busy job?
Yes,
I think it's a very busy job. And I know Norman's wife has raised three children, mm-hmm, and she's had her handful. And my mother had raised five of us, so between the three ladies, let's do the math. 5 + 4 + 3, 12 children from these three mothers. And what a wonderful job they've all done. And we'd like to say thank you to our mothers and to our wives and let them know how much we love them. And we can't wait to spoil them rotten tomorrow. And we know the routine in the Snow household, don't we?
Yeah.
It starts early in the morning. And our first goal is not to let mom hear any of the babies cry. So we got to get to those babies fast in the morning, and we got to take them downstairs so mom can sleep. And then we've got to start making her egg omelet with spinach and feta cheese and toast. And we're going to serve her breakfast in bed. And then she's giving us a lunch menu and dinner menu. We're going to have a fun day tomorrow. High five on that, girl. All right. Let's go to line number one.
Good morning on the Snow Nose Garden Show.
Hi, my name is Susan. Excuse me, and I'm renting, so I don't have my own quote garden. But there's a bleeding heart in the backyard, and it's bloomed and beautiful, but it's starting to lose its blooms. How do I take care of this? Do I prune it?
At this point, I wouldn't do anything to it other than than fertilize it a little bit, and you can put some, sometimes you need to end up putting some stakes around it to try to keep it upright a little bit longer. But in a fairly short order, the foliage is going to ripen or start to turn brown. And once it starts to dry back, then you can go ahead and cut it back, remove all of that. Bleeding hearts are one of the first perennials to come up and do their thing each spring. And then it's pretty quick that they're, that they do their thing for the year and then fade and die back to the ground for the summer, fall, and winter. And once they've died back, then you can go ahead and trim them back to the ground you know, then you won't have to look at them, you know, being kind of raggedy through the rest of the season. But it's important to allow them to do that, to let that foliage be there until it dies back on its own, because that's what's strengthening the root system and gives it the energy to do its thing for next spring.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Would you like to nominate anyone for the free rose shrub?
I would. I'd like to nominate my sister, Sarah.
All right. Wonderful. We're going to announce that in just a moment, so just stand by.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. Let's drop that caller. And once we announce a winner, you can swing by the Garden Center today and pick up your rose shrub. That's any 3-gallon rose shrub, and we'll let all the ladies and women know at the Garden Center who the winner was. So just stand by. We'll announce that winner in just a second. We'll have Maddie draw the names from a hat, okay? All right, let's go to line number 2.
Good morning, on the Snow Nose Garden Show.
Yes, good morning. Some of our irises have I'm sorry. I was listening to the radio and I didn't know that I was on.
Isn't that fun to do?
It's a fungus or it's being caused by an insect, and it has you know, sort of slimy areas on the leaves. So I didn't know if I need to get a fungicide or insecticide or what do I need to do?
Primarily kind of down toward the base of the plant.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And kind of mushy. It sounds like it could be one of two things. It could be either iris borer, which is a you know, could be a nasty, devastating little insect that gets in there and tunnels around in the roots of the plant, as well as up into the leaves and the stems, can kind of give similar symptoms to that. And then there are fungal disease or two that can do it. Probably the best thing to do would be to bring some of it into the garden center and let us take a look at it, and we can get a much better handle on which one it is.
But okay.
If it's the fungus, you can treat it with a fungicide. Like Daconil or Mancozeb, and that should take care of it. If it's the iris borers, then you'll need to really go in later on, remove a lot of the growth that has that in it, mm-hmm. and then really go through and kind of weed it out a little bit this later on in the summer, and treat it with some insecticide that'll help to eliminate the problem. But iris borers can be kind of nasty to deal with.
We have several stands of irises in different locations, you know, different gardens. So would it make sense that the borer would be in all those places? Or
It can.
Oh, okay. All right, I'll bring some in.
Okay.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much. Oh, we forgot to ask her if she wanted to nominate someone. We're out of time. Thank you so much for all of our callers today. All right, we've got all the names here. We're going to mix them up, and Maddie, we're going to let you draw the winner, okay? Close your eyes. No peeking. All right, reach out in front of you. Reach out in front of you. Okay. Open it up and say the winner. Edith Firth. You want to say that?
Edith Firth.
Congratulations. I think it was her husband or... that called in that name. Edith Firth is our winner of the rose shrub, any 3-gallon rose bush. You can come out to the garden center today before 5 o'clock when we close and pick that up. Once again, just want to remind everyone of all the wonderful specials we have going on at the garden center. 20% off all roses, outdoor furniture, flowering trees. And we've got a huge variety and assortment of flowering trees. And what a wonderful opportunity or gift that would make to plant a tree in memory of your mother or your wife, and you could even plant it for her. If you don't feel like doing the backbreaking work, you can get us to come out and plant it for her. So a free carnation to all the mothers or husbands who would like to take a carnation home to their wife. Thank you so much for listening. We're out of time. We'll see you next week on the Snow Nose Garden Show.